and to see what you're bringing to us this morning. And God, I know you know, and I'll say it, and I can't of my own self do nothing. But it's only through you, God, that the word of God goes forth this morning to your people. The Holy Spirit, I say thank you this morning for being who you are in me and bringing forth your word through me in Jesus' name. Amen. And before I start, I want to say that I sure thank God for them last two great messages we had, don't we? Amen. Ed brought a great message. Then Jet brought a great message. And it was good. Amen. It was good. And I enjoyed it. Y'all might well know this. I can sit right there and hear all the great messages. I don't have to be the one to preach. I do not have to be the one to preach. I don't have no ego problem. Thank you, Jesus. I have no ego problem. A heavenly mindset. I used to have one years ago, but I don't have one now. A heavenly mindset. Okay. I want us to, the purpose of this message is I want us to start thinking from heaven to earth. We need to think from heaven to earth. A lot of time we think from earth to heaven, but that's not the way we should do it. I want to ask you a question. What are you thinking of? And you don't have to, I just want you to think about and answer it to yourself. What are you thinking about right now? What are you thinking about right now? What are you thinking about? E, what are you thinking about right now? what are you thinking about right now? See, I can't read your thoughts. I want to know your thoughts if God give me what, the word of knowledge or something, you know? What do you say, Eve? Thinking about food. Okay. What have you been thinking about since you woke up this morning? Sometimes we wake up with things that are on our mind and we're thinking about it and we think about it and we try to do other things, but we keep thinking about it. So what have you been thinking about since you woke up this morning? And if you remember your dream from last night, what did you dream? Sometimes we have a dream, we dream something, and we get up next morning and we think about that dream. We try to get it off our mind. Okay. God gave us the ability to think and process thoughts. He gave us the ability to think and to process thoughts. So this was all his idea to have a spirit, soul, and a body, with each one having more than one part. What I want to share this morning concerns the soul and the soul part, which we call the mind. So how does it all work? How does the soul and the mind work? How does it all work? How does our mind, will, and emotion and imagination work? Because our soul has several parts. Well, the spirit has parts too. The body has parts. We see all our body parts, don't we? Well, every part of everyone, the spirit has parts. Our soul has parts and the body has parts. And so the parts of the body is the mind, will, emotion, and imagination. Our mind is actually the bridge between our spirit and our body. Our mind can block things from coming from our spirit to our body, or it can open up and allow things to come through. So it's the bridge between our spirit and our body. Our mind has thoughts that trigger our imagination and our emotions. So the mind can have thoughts that trigger our imagination and our emotions. If someone tells you some sad story or something sad about them, you some sad news, that sad news triggers crying. It triggers sadness. It triggers something in you that brings about an emotion. So our thoughts trigger our imagination and our emotions. Now think about TV commercials and ads. The TV commercial and the ads are all about stirring your emotions. They show you a picture. They tell you something about something. And it wants to stir your emotions so that you what? Go out and buy it. And don't you just dislike all these commercials now about if your back hurting, if this ain't right, you know, you can get this kind of medicine. Tell your doctor about it. Get this or that, the other. You know, all these ads about medication. And if you ain't careful, you'll start feeling or think you got whatever that medication says it can cure. So, and they do that intentionally to trigger your emotions so you can go out and buy whatever they're trying to sell. That lets us know what? Emotions are powerful. Ooh, Lord Jesus. I used to did not know how not to live for my emotions. I was the type of person that my emotions were so powerful. And my emotions are so powerful because emotions is a part of me that God's using the prophetic realm. So therefore, emotions were so powerful for me, my own emotions. And then I would pick up other people's emotions. Like I said one time when I was talking here, and it was a hard time. I had nobody to teach me about all that. So at that time. So emotions are powerful. If you live from your emotions, how you feel about yourself, how you feel about things and circumstances, your life will be like a roller coaster. Woo, slow down. Woo, slow down. Woo, slow down. Look, you'll be up and down, depending on your emotions. If your emotions are up here, you'll be upbeat. Woo-hoo. But if your emotions are down here, oh, you know, I want to get out of bed today. I don't want to do nothing today. So we don't want to live from our emotions. You don't want to live from your emotions. You don't want to live from your emotions. I had someone tell me one time when I was living by my emotions, and I was actually trying to serve God by my emotions. Now, you need to know that won't get me nowhere. Mary won't get me nowhere now. He won't get me nowhere. And this lady, pastor, and she was prophetic. She told me, she said, Ernestine, you take one step forward, two steps back. I knew exactly what she was saying. I was like a ball up and down, my emotion up and down, up and down. I'll be up one day and down the next, up and down, up and down. And I was depressed. See, Don didn't know all that was going on, because I didn't let them know. I didn't let my family know. I was depressed and at home, and sometimes I had suicidal thoughts and all that kind of stuff because of my emotions. And I didn't realize emotions are just emotions. They're just emotions. They don't tell me who I am. They don't tell me how I feel. They don't tell me what I can do and what I can't do. They're just emotions. They're just emotions. Since thoughts trigger emotions, what we think and how we think are important. Our thoughts trigger emotions. So what we think and how we think are important. Most of the time, if you would just change what you are thinking and how you see things, which is your perspective, things would change because what? You change. If our inside change, our thoughts change, our mind change, how we see things change, we would change. And I look at Ed and I say, oh, Ed's a better person than I thought he was. Why? Because my perspective has changed. I'm not looking at all those old thoughts I used to think about. I'm looking and seeing things through God's eye. Not my emotions. Not my emotions. Oh my goodness. If I was living by my emotions, I might be home this morning. It's the truth. I woke up this morning not feeling like preaching, not feeling like coming to church, not feeling like doing nothing. And when you feel like that, the enemy will start talking to you. And if you don't know the truth, you're going to be in bad shape. So what I had to say is, get on thoughts, and I am going to church. I am going to do what God told me to do. Now, see, what if I want a pastor? Now, the pastor can't stay home to have those thoughts. But if I want the pastor and I went home and had those thoughts, I might say, well, you know, they won't miss me today. They don't need me today. I might just stay home. See, but we don't live by emotion. We don't live by emotion. And I am so thankful for Miss K back there. She had been blessing, being a blessing, and just plow through and come here and sit back there, even though she got several things she has to deal with. But she has not let those things stop her. So I give you a blessing. And I say, thank you, Jesus. It's how we're thinking that gets us in a mess, and it's changing our thinking that's going to get us out of the mess. So how do thoughts come? How do thoughts come? Thoughts can come from God. Thoughts can come from the devil. They can come from other people. They can come from past experience, good or bad. Thoughts can come from what we see on television, what we see in life, what we see as we go day to day. And thoughts can come from what we hear and what we feel. Thoughts can even come from what we smell. I smell like somebody cooking some collard greens. Woo! look, y'all. Smells like Ed's cooking a cake. So thoughts can come from smells. You can smell things, and that smell make you think about whatever the smell is about. The good news is, everybody and everything is competing for your thoughts. Everybody wants your mind these days. They want you to think like they want you to think. They want you to think about what they're thinking about. Okay. Candidates running for office want you to think about them. Think about, I'll do this for you and I'll do that for you. You know, everybody wants our thoughts. But it's actually up to us to take the thought or let it pass by. We can take the thought or let it pass by. Why do I say that? The good news is that Jesus said this in Matthew 6:25. I'm going to get to a scripture. Matthew 6:25. Jesus said this, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat and what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? So take no thoughts." You can either take a thought or let it go. You know, you don't have to take all those thoughts. I had a bishop one time. I used to be in the Free Will Baptist denomination, and we had a bishop, and he was a wise bishop. And I really loved him. He was a wise old bishop. He said this. He said, and it was pertaining to thoughts. He said, "You can't keep the bird from flying around your head, but you don't have to let him nest." You can't keep all those thoughts from coming, but you don't have to take them. You don't have to let them. You don't have to say, "Come on in and sit down now." Don't take it. Just don't take it. Just don't take it. If I cannot take a thought for one thing, then I can choose not to take any thought that do not agree with God's truth. Think about that. If I can not take a thought for one thing, I cannot take a thought for anything. And I cannot take none of those thoughts that disagree with the word of God. With the word of God. Make me think about all those thoughts that come and try to tell us that we're contrary to who God says we are. We don't have to take them. We don't have to take them. If somebody come and they say you you ain't gonna make it. You a failure. You this, you that. We don't have to take it. Don't take those thoughts that don't agree with what God says about you. Say no to those thoughts and only take the thoughts that comes from God and what he says you are, and what the word of God says you are. Stop taking in and everybody's thoughts. Just don't do it. We actually can choose not to take a thought that and rebuke it and actually replace it. So we can rebuke a thought, not take it, and then replace that thought with what God says. Replace that thought with the word of God. Replace it. Replace that thought. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10:3. 2 Corinthians 10:3. I like this scripture. I like a lot of scriptures, though. I like all of them. 2 Corinthians 10:3. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." What's Paul saying? Walk in the flesh. We live in a body made with flesh. We can't live here on earth any other way but in a body. We got to have a body to live on this earth. Everybody that can no longer live in their body, they die. So we got to have a body. That's the flesh. But though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. But the important thing, if we don't fight a spiritual, the important thing is we don't fight a spiritual battle with our bodies, which is our flesh. Now that worship song a little while ago, he said he was dancing, but he was doing like this. You know, we don't fight like that. We don't fight like that. Somebody make you mad, make you upset, you can't go get your gun and shoot them. You know, you can't go and knock them out. That's trying to fight a spiritual battle with a fleshly weapon. Because the battle's not flesh and blood, it's spiritual. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. Remember, we are what? Ephesians say, we're not fighting flesh and blood, according to Ephesians 6:12. We're fighting what? Principalities and powers. We're not fighting flesh and blood. And war means to fight. There's a fight, but our flesh is not our weapon. We don't fight like the world fight. The world's weapons are manipulation. You know, they fight by trying to manipulate you. They fight by trying to control you. They fight like this. You do bad to me, I do bad to you. You know, you kill my cat, I kill your dog. You know, that kind of stuff. That's the world's way of doing things. But we don't fight that way. We don't fight that way. Let's look at the fourth verse of 2 Corinthians 10:4. 2 Corinthians 10:4, the fourth verse. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of what? Strongholds. Strongholds. If you have thoughts in your mind you can't get rid of, you constantly thinking about, you constantly fight against, maybe there's a stronghold. Sometimes thoughts can make strongholds if we allow them to make strongholds. Carnal is talking about fighting with flesh like the world. Our weapons come from God and are mighty and can definitely pull down a stronghold. What's a stronghold? Thoughts and mindsets that have exalted themselves against the knowledge of God. There are thoughts and mindsets that have exalted themselves against the knowledge of God. It's like me saying, well, I know what the word says about this, but I want to do it my way. I know what, and somebody tried to tell you what the word said. They try to tell you what the word said. You saying, well, I know what the word said, but I want to do this. You know, I know it says that, but I don't want to do that. I want to do this. That means you have got a mindset that has exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Because if you're going to go your way and not accept the word's way, then you got a stronghold that needs to come down. You got a stronghold that needs to come down. Let's look at the fifth verse of 2 Corinthians 10. Casting down imaginations. Imagination is part of our mind, isn't it? Because you know what? Thoughts will paint pictures. It's amazing with our mind. But thoughts will come and thoughts will paint pictures. Somebody will say, a big, red, juicy apple. My mind and my imagination will quickly go to work and I'll picture a nice, juicy, red apple. And it works the opposite way, too. If somebody gives you some thoughts that are evil or bad or fear or trauma, then your mind will start painting pictures in your imagination of that thing too. So the scripture says, casting down imagination and every high thing. Okay, we hear that, ladies. We hear that. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Did you not know that we're supposed to, our thoughts and our imagination should obey God? They should obey God. I should not allow any thoughts in my mind that are contrary to the word of God, that are not obeying God. Now, suppose I was married. I'm a widow. But suppose I was married. I didn't like the way my husband treated me. He wasn't treating me like I wanted him to treat me. And all I do is imagine in my mind about another husband that treated me like I wanted to be treated or did like I wanted him to do. Now, that would not be right. That wouldn't be right. That's against the knowledge of God. God wants me to be thinking about, okay, how can I make my marriage better? How can I be the wife that my husband needs? How can I do what God would have me to do in my marriage? You know, God, what's your will for my marriage? You know, I should cast down those thoughts and make my thoughts obey Christ. Bring every into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Make thoughts and imaginations obey God. Make what you're thinking and what you imagine obey God. Make it obey God. And we can do it, the word of God says. We can do it. We can do it. Let's look at the fifth verse of 2 Corinthians 10. And I'm going to read this in the Passion Translation. And I'm going to emphasize and put in some explanations about different words so and I'll let you know what those words are so we can understand it better. 2 Corinthians 10:5, Passion Translation. We can demolish. Demolish means destroy. Every deceptive fantasy. Fantasy, imagination, that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude, way of thinking and mindset that is raised up in defiance. Defiance is against or disagreement of the true knowledge of God. We capture. Capture means we gain control by force, like prisoners of war, every thought, and insist that it bow in obedience to the anointed one, Jesus. We're responsible for our thoughts. We're responsible for our mind. We're responsible for what we meditate and think on. We're responsible. We're responsible. And then we'll say, well, I don't know why I'm doing this or why I'm acting this way and why this is happening. What have you been thinking about? What's been on your mind? What have you been spending your time thinking on? What have you been spending your time meditating on? Because that makes a difference. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. Let's look at the sixth verse. And I'm going to read the Passion Translation again. Since we are armed with such dynamic weaponry, we stand ready to punish any trace of rebellion as soon as you choose complete obedience. Where is this rebellion? In your thoughts and in your mind. Once your mind is renewed in an area and stand ready to go, once your mind is renewed in every area, stand ready to go after any ungodly thought and bring it into obedience to Christ. We have to stop agreeing with the world and doing things the world's way. We've been given a better way. We've been given a better way. We've been given a better way. So we need to stop doing things the world way and do it a better way. Do it a better way. Y'all listen to me. Some of y'all ain't even listening. What y'all doing? What y'all doing? Y'all, are y'all listening? Okay. I know y'all listening. I ain't talking about y'all. And Kay, you listen too. When Lonnie let you listen. When Lonnie let you listen. Sometimes you got to see if folks, whoa, y'all listen to me. Y'all hear preachers say, are y'all listening? Preachers will stop. They say, are y'all listening to me? And then they'll say, do y'all hear me? So let's look at the heavenly mindset. Let's go to Ephesians 2:4. We're going to look at the heavenly mindset. Ephesians 2:4 says this, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Ephesians 2:5, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. By grace, we have been saved. One of the greatest struggles to walking in freedom in our grace walk with Jesus takes place between our two ears. It's the struggle of our mind and thought life. We struggle to comprehend and understand the word of God instead of relying on the Holy Spirit to help us. We struggle to believe what he is saying instead of just trusting him. Why not just stop struggling to believe? Stop struggling to comprehend. And just trust Holy Spirit to help you. When I read the word of God and there's something I don't understand, I get to something that I can't comprehend, I don't try to, in my own understanding, find the answer. I don't try with my own understanding to see what God is saying. But I just stop and say, Holy Spirit, help me. I don't see this. I don't understand. And sometimes I'll say, Jesus, I don't know what you're saying. I don't understand what you're saying. Help me understand. Help me see this. And then you just wait for the Holy Spirit to bring understanding. And he will bring understanding to you. He really will. He really will. He really will. And you know what we do? We tend to default to our old broken mindset before we knew Christ. And that's not the way. You don't think the same way you used to think before you got born again, before you knew Christ. The thing is, you don't want that mindset anymore. That's a worldly mindset. That's the natural mindset. You want the godly mindset. So you don't want to think that way anymore. Don't default to that old way of thinking. Don't do that. We need to command our thoughts, because if we don't give our mind a job, our thoughts will often spiral into places that we don't want them to go. If you don't give your mind a job, if you don't give your mind what to think, it's going to go all over the place to wherever it wants to go. God knows the power of the mind and the thoughts, because he created it that way. Think about the story of Abraham. God told Abraham, I'm going to make your decision. First, he told him, look at the stars. Can you number them? Mm-mm. Look at the sand. Can you number them? Mm-mm. Well, I'm going to make your descendants just like the stars and just like the sand. If you could number your descendants, the stars and the sand, you'd be able to number your descendants. But he couldn't do that. So what was God doing? He was giving Abraham mind a job. He was giving him something to think about. He was giving him something to think about. And he gave us the word of God. We got plenty to think about. We got plenty to think about. So he gave him a job, meditating on what he is saying, because God knew our mind works with thoughts. And he also changed Abraham and Sarah's name to give them something else to think about. And their names and what God gave them matched their destiny. They began to think about their destiny. Amen. They began to think about their destiny. So God was changing their mindset to match what heaven was saying about them. They could have a heavenly mindset. Do you know that it has already been established in heaven who you are and what God has for you? And the heavenly mindset is getting with God, seeing who God says we are, hearing him say who we are, and having that mindset that God has about you. Thinking the way that God wants you to think, seeing things the way God wants you to see them. He also told Joshua, take this book of the law. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, so you may observe to do all that is written therein. After all that meditating, guess what Joshua was thinking about? He was thinking about the word of God that God told him to meditate on. A broken mindset tends to get stuck in reprocessing the past or worrying about the future. But a renewed mind, a renewed heavenly mindset, is focused on the presence of God with you right here, right now. God is with us right here, right now. The main verse I want to talk about today, I'm getting to right now. What time is it? Okay, Ephesians 2:6. It says this, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So the word of God said we've been raised up together with Christ and made to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. And someone asked me one time, how can that be? How can the Bible say we're sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? And we're going to talk about that this morning. A heavenly mindset is about living in continual communion with the Holy Spirit. When you got a heavenly mindset, you live in continual communion with the Holy Spirit. It's about staying in union with God throughout the day and bringing his kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy into every situation you may face. Because 1 John 4:17 says this, because as he is, Jesus, right now, sitting at the right hand of the Father, as he is, so are we in this world. Because Christ is seated in heaven, so are we. So how does this work? How am I sitting in heavenly places with Christ right now, and I'm right here on earth. We all see each other. So this is how it works. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. So wherever we are, Jesus is there. Wherever Jesus is, we are there. When the Holy Spirit showed me, I said, oh, okay. Okay. Wherever I am, because he's in me, he is. And because I'm in him, wherever he is, I'm there. Y'all see that? You're in Christ in you. So he's here. We're in Christ. He's in heaven. So we're there. We're here and we're there. We're there and we're here. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? So that's a fact, and it's true. So our thinking should also be coming from heavenly places in Christ. Jesus is heavenly minded, and we should be also. We have the mind of Christ so we can know any given time the mind of heaven. We are never without him, but guess what? He is never without us. I like that. We are never without him, but he is what? Never without us. We can't say, well, you forgot about me, God. You ain't thinking about me. How can he forget you? You're in him. He can never forget you. He carries you around with him everywhere he goes. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father. You're right there in him. He can never forget you, just like he's in us. Jesus often said he came from the Father and that he was never without him. That's all in John. He said that he did what he saw his Father doing. He said him and the Father were one. He said he was in the Father and the Father was in him. Sounds like Ephesians with us in Jesus. Sounds just like that. Let's read John 3:13. I don't know how I missed this verse or didn't really think about it. And one day I read it, and I thought about every part of it. And this is one of those verses I had asked Jesus. I said, Jesus, what do you mean? What are you saying? Holy Spirit, what is Jesus saying? No one, and that was before I came to the revelation about, you know, we're in him and where he is. John 3:13. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. Jesus talking about himself. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is, and that was added by a translator, the Son of Man who is in heaven. Okay. Jesus was talking to his disciples, and this is what he said. He said he had ascended to heaven. And then he said he came down from heaven. Then he said he was in heaven. He said he ascended to heaven. He said he came down from heaven. We all agree that part about him coming down from heaven. We have no problem with that. The scripture is full about him coming down from heaven. That part about no one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven. And then that part said the Son of Man who is in heaven. And he said it when he was talking to his disciples. He wasn't in heaven at the time physically. He was talking to his disciples. So he came down from heaven and he said it many times during his ministry. He also said that he ascended to heaven. Now, I believe, because that's what he said, and Enoch ascended to heaven, but he never came back. Elijah ascended to heaven. He ain't never come back either. But Jesus said, no one has ascended to heaven, I guess, and came back but him. Do you think that in his prayer time with the Father, he actually had trips to heaven and he came back? I believe it too. I believe it too. I really do. Because there are people now that have encounters and they are taken up to the throne room and they come back. But Jesus was the first one that did it and came back. He's like the firstborn, the forerunner of everybody. But you know what? I looked at all the other translations about that, and they took it out or changed it. There's only two translations that kept it just like Jesus said it: the American Standard Version and the Modern King James Version. Everybody took out that last part about being in heaven right now. When we were talking to the disciples, the Son of Man who is in heaven. Everybody took that out, I think. And they changed that no one ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven. They changed the ascendant part to being after his resurrection. Everybody kept who came down from heaven. And they did, the translators just changed what how Jesus said it. But Jesus said what he said, period. I believe that. I believe he meant exactly what he said. The Father was in Jesus here on earth, but Jesus was also in the Father in heaven. That's why Jesus could say that. He could say that because we can say the same thing now. The scripture says that about us, that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Just like that's now true for us, when Jesus was ministering here, it was true for him. He was in the Father in heaven, and the Father was in him here. So he could say that. He lived in complete communion with the Father. The Holy Spirit made it all possible. The Father was never without Jesus, and Jesus was never without the Father. Until on the cross, when he became sin for us, that we could have the same relationship that he had with the Father. Amen. 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 I'm just going to read Ephesians 8, 9, and 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Grace is God's love, God's favor, and God's ability. And this grace package that God has given us through Jesus, that's a free gift to be accepted by faith, is everything we could ever need. We inherited it from Jesus. He left it to us in his will, the new covenant or a new testament. In the word of God, we've been given grace. Grace to love. Grace to receive God's favor. But also grace to walk in the ability that God has given us. And one of those ability is that we can choose what we think about. We can have a heavenly mindset, or we can have an earthly mindset. I choose the heavenly mindset. I choose the heavenly mindset. And I choose to believe that not only am I here right now and Jesus with me, in me, but I also believe that he's in heaven and I'm in him. So I'm there too with him. I'm always with him and he's always with me. He's always with you and you're always with him. We have access to that heavenly mindset. We don't have to think the way the world thinks. We can think heavenly thoughts. I'm getting ready to close. Where our thoughts come from determines our mindset, worldly or broken or heavenly. When we don't actively take our thoughts captive and make them obedient to truth, we can easily default into broken mindsets that don't reflect the fact that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I want everybody to stand. I want you to take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to show you any pattern of thinking in you, in your life, that is broken and not a heavenly mindset. Ask him to show you any mindset you have that's not heavenly, but that's broken. This could be a thought pattern that keeps you in fear. It could keep you in shame. It could keep you in bitterness, anger, or unforgiveness. Any of those thought patterns could be there. And those are not heavenly mindsets. Just take a moment to do that. Ask them, are there any broken mindsets, ungodly mindsets that you're thinking over and over again? Any way you might be thinking about yourself that's not a heavenly mindset? Anything you might be thinking about somebody else that's not a heavenly mindset? Or about anything? Ask the Holy Spirit to show it to you. Hmm. If you would like to surrender this mindset to God and ask him to help you form a heavenly mindset in his place, I want you to pray this prayer after me. Say, thank you, Lord, that you have given me the ability to take all my thoughts captive and make them obedient to the truth of your word. Today I repent of every agreement I have made with the broken mindset of and put there whatever mindset Holy Spirit told you about. Just fill in the blank with that. Jesus, I surrender this broken mindset to you. And I ask you to help me build a new heavenly mindset in its place. Holy Spirit, please renew my mind with your peace, your hope, your love, and joy. Please bring to my mind scriptures that declare your truth and empower me to stand on the word of God. I declare you have given me a sound mind. I declare I have the mind of Christ, which is being renewed daily by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. Please notice you have authority over your thoughts and your mind. Don't allow your mind to be the devil's playfield, where he just all the time defeating you in your thoughts. And you're all the time thinking about things that don't build you up and don't glorify the Lord. Because this is a basketball term. That don't mean I know a whole lot about basketball, but I'm going to say it. But it's like this. The ball is in your court. When it comes to your thoughts, the ball is in your court. And what you do with it will determine how you win the game of day-to-day life. Amen. 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 Are there any prayer requests? Any prayer requests? Thank y'all for being so patient today. Amen. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your patience. Father God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for those that came to hear the word. We thank you for those on Zoom. We give you all the glory, all the praise. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father God. We just say thank you. You're good. You're so, so good to us. And we say thank you, Jesus. And I bless these, your people. I bless them with a blessed day and bless them all week. Keep them all safe, God, and bless whatever they put their hands to do. And bless them, Father God, to hear you all week long and to walk in your joy and peace and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. We're dismissed.